This is Dr. Kim, licensed clinical psychologist and host of Love to Heal. Today we have an incredible international singer. Her name is Zetty Carnell, a good friend of mine, and I'm so excited you're here today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so today I think we're going to talk about music, about heartbreak, about healing through music. I'm so excited to dig in. But first, I want everyone to know, how did you become a singer?
Well, I came by it honest. I have a family of musicians. My grandfather was a musician on the Louisiana Hayride, which was right around the time the Opry was getting started. But it was in Shreveport, Louisiana, and done through a radio station called KWKH. And if you know, some people know this, some people don't, but the Louisiana Hayride was called the Cradle to the Stars, and that's actually where Elvis got his start. Johnny Cash, Slim Whitman, Buddy Attaway, and a lot of the legends today. So that was my grandfather, and then passed that on to my mother. My mother was a music minister for several years, and has played for some of the largest and biggest gospel artists that we have today. And so, you know, growing up with that in the house, you just catch it. So
that's amazing.
I'm that honest.
And you're a songwriter, which is a big deal too.
Songwriter, singer, musician. Growing up in the church, you know, when my mom was having choir rehearsals and things like that, we were bored. Mm-hmm. And so if I could find an instrument to get on and just play, whether it was the drums or the piano or guitar, I was going to find it and create. And so that just kind of led down a path and stuck with me my whole life.
That's amazing. And I kind of wanted to get a feel, because you're in Nashville. So what is it like? What's your daily routine or weekly routine like being a musician down there?
You know, it's a variable. The thing about Nashville is that is so unique, other than any other creative cities in the world. It's music city number one, but it is the town for the song. Anybody who's anyone comes to Nashville for the songs. And we have some of the largest publishing companies in the world here. And so, you know, LA is great for models and actresses, and New York is great for Broadway. But if you want a hit song, you come to Nashville. So the day in the life of the singer-songwriter in Nashville is writing, getting in writer's rounds, and then performing in writer's rounds, where you kind of pitch your songs and see how people respond. And that's kind of how you know how to record it, and then send it to your publisher, and then the publisher sends it to someone. They call them pitchers. They pay for them to pitch your music to basically other, you know, recording artists, record labels. So it's a very competitive market, but when you're following your passion and following your dream, it's worth it. So,
what have been some of the highlights of your career?
Highlights of my career? Oh, I've had so many.
Good. That's a good thing.
Prior to moving back to Nashville, I think it has really been working with creatives, working with hit songwriters who've had Grammys, who've been on Billboard charts, and just seeing how their mind works and how they look at life. They're excellent storytellers. They're wonderful observers, and which has really influenced me and how I view the world. And so I think that's probably one of the most unique things about being back here in Nashville is your storytelling. So
that's incredible. So I know a lot of people listening are dealing with heartbreak and some depression, some anxiety. I wanted to know, what is your take on healing with music or healing through music?
Well, I think a few things. You know, one of the things and one of the reasons why I feel so called to music is it's alchemy. If you know anything about transmutation, and that you can have one like water, for example, and it can be turned into ice, it can be turned into steam. It all is depending upon its environment. And so music, because of its spiritual component and aspect, has the ability to transmute suffering and pain into something very beautiful. And the other thing that I love about music is when you understand science and you understand sound and light, light travels faster than sound. When you pick up an instrument like a guitar and you play a string, it vibrates at a frequency and at a level. You can't see a sound wave, but you can hear it. And so there's an undercurrent of a metaphysical construct that takes place when you hear sound. It reaches the cellular level, the spiritual level, the emotional level. So it has a transmutation of pain and suffering or whatever that you're going through and can provide healing. It can provide a different outlook. I'm sure many people, know the first time they ever heard a sound that profoundly, a song that profoundly impacted their life. I can recall that where I was sitting, what I was wearing, and the name of the song. So it can take you back to a place. And so music is very powerful in the healing journey, not only for the person writing the music and performing the music, but also for the listener as well. It's a beautiful, I guess you could say, dance for healing to take place. So, hope that answers the question.
Absolutely did. Yeah. So there's nostalgia, there's present focus. And then do you ever use music or write music so that you can manifest something in the future? If you're not in that state and you want to put yourself in that state, do you ever do that? Or have you been inspired by?
I have, and I certainly believe in that because I also see music as kind of where you are. It's a great way to gauge what's coming out of you. Like for me, I've been going through probably one of the worst heartbreaks of my life, and so to me, it's cathartic. It brings healing. So being able to write from the pain and the suffering and be able to transmute that into something beautiful that other people can then look at and go, wow, I know how she feels, or you're not in it alone. It also helps to encourage people to know you're not the only one or to tell their story. So for me, when I go to gospel music or go to inspirational music, that is more for manifestation. That is more calling things, that are not as though they are. And that's what faith is all about, is it is, I guess for lack of better terms, the way that we say it, is faith is the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so we see that a lot in inspirational and gospel music. And it's something that, I've used throughout my life. And that's probably what I turn to the most when I'm going through a difficult season in my
Love that so much. Because you touched on your heartbreak, what are some ways that you feel like people can get through in the moment? Some things maybe you've been done or things that you've witnessed other people do that does help a little bit in the healing, either to distract or start to change a perspective, things like that.
Well, I think you just hit the nail on the head. I think the thing to do and the thing that's worked for me, it's how we choose to see it. It all comes down to perception and perspective. When you're going through it, it's one thing to experience, but when you have kind of stepped back from it and become the observer and you can see from a different perspective, it changes everything. And I think oftentimes when we're going through something difficult, we want to blame ourselves. We internalize everything. We make everything about us. When there's some beauty in that, and there's some lessons in that, but also to then turn and look at the, you know, what really transpired. And what I have found more times than not being in a relationship is, you know, not everyone has the same capacity for love that we do. And from my experience, when people run or people want to separate, it's not actually you, the person that's involved, that they're running from. It's really the things that you bring up in their life that they're not ready to face or deal with because they don't have the capacity to do that. And so changing your perspective and your outlook on it is everything. It's all comes down to mindset, and it's hard to do it when you're in the thick of it, but it is, it's easier once you can step away from it and go internal through whatever spiritual practice that you employ and gain a new perspective and a new mindset on it. So I hope that answers your question.
Oh, that is fantastic. Like, yeah, it sounds like a musician / psychologist. I love it.
Ah, well. There,
the capacity, you don't have the capacity. You have these limiting beliefs and limited capacity based on where you're at in life and how much insight you have. I love that so much. You get really into the metaphysics of dating. So I'm curious, like, what is your perspective on metaphysics of dating and beliefs shape behaviors?
Well, to really understand metaphysics, you have to understand it's a substructure. And sub meaning under. So we live in a very visual world. We live in a 3D world where we want to live, we want to see it, we want to taste it, we want to experience it. We have a fast food society. We want it now. But the world doesn't work like that. And metaphysics is a substructure of what is going on underneath everything that we see. Like, I'm sitting at a table right now, and in order for someone to build this table, they had to think about it. They had to dream it into existence. They had to, you know, think about what kind of legs they wanted on it, what kind of material to build the table. And so you have the creator. And we're all creators. And so to bring this table into existence, it first had to enter the mind, had to be thought about, conceptualized, and then brought into existence. And that really is metaphysics. We're creating all the time. A lot of people don't realize that. And you can create really positive things, or you can create negative things based on your own thinking, because metaphysics, it's a law. It's the laws of the universe and how they operate. And I was telling a friend the other day, I said, if I jump out of my window right there, there's a thing called the law of gravity, and it's going to take place, and I'm going to fall flat and smack and die on the pavement, regardless of whether I'm a Christian, whether I'm a Muslim, whether I'm a Buddhist, whether I'm an atheist. It's the law. And so metaphysics employ the law that all humans live in. So regardless of your affiliation, denomination, or what have you, once you understand the laws, then you understand how to play the game, because they say, it's often been said, that life is a battle, and it's not a battle. It's a game, and you cannot understand how to win at the game of life until you understand the rules. And so metaphysics are the rules.
Love that. And if you haven't researched metaphysics, I really implore you to do that. And even if you don't understand it, to simplify a little bit, but the thoughts affect beliefs. It affects emotions, and it affects behaviors. So even from a psychological perspective, it makes a lot of sense to work through that, especially if you're going through something like heartbreak. So I love that you're so into it. Or if you just want to manifest something for your future.
Right.
Are there So if someone is going through a breakup and maybe they want to play, they're not musicians, maybe they want to play with songwriting, do you actually have like a tip for how to start that, you know, even as a someone that has never tried it before?
I think the biggest thing is authenticity and being real. Our culture and our society today, we have a hard time with being authentic and being vulnerable. And so when I sit to, write or to create, the first thing is just to get really real with myself. It's not always pretty. But to tell the story, some of the most beautiful songs have come from the crushing and the bruising of heartache. And through that heartache, and that suffering and that pain, many people have been healed. Many people have been touched. Many people have had the courage and the hope and the faith to, move forward. So for me, I think some of the most beautiful things to be said or to be created come from the bruising and the crushing of loss and heartache. I mean, if you look at some of the most beautiful pieces of art, the most profound books, come from pain. So I would say the best thing to do is just to sit down and get very real with yourself and have a conversation with yourself. Some of the best songs come out of a conversation. Like you could actually write a letter to your lover and make a beautiful song out of that. So,
That's incredible. I love that so much. So I hope someone out there tries that for healing. I think that can be really helpful. I do think you guys have an edge for healing from what I've seen with my clients. I do believe that musicians have an edge to get through the pain slightly easier or just make something more productive out of the pain. I think that musicians absolutely have an edge. It doesn't mean it's not going to last as long, but there's something to do that feels beautiful and productive and something beautiful comes out of it. Same thing with like when people start shifting careers or they get a new meaning and purpose through the breakup. But I love that you guys are able to create during that painful time, arduous time.
Sometimes it's a good thing to be a conduit. And then other times it just really sucks, because we feel everything and we look at life completely different and we absorb things. Being an artist, the responsibility is to create art. And they say life imitates art. Well, I think sometimes art imitates life. And I have a really beautiful quote I'd like to share. Johnny Cash's son wrote a book, and in this book he had a quote, and he says, "True love is many things and can survive the strongest and most painful of times. When love comes out of the other side of the fire, it may be scarred forever, but this bruised love is somehow only greater for having survived the pain." So.
Love that so much. Are there some songs of yours or a song that you could talk about that just comes to mind that you can kind of let us know how you were feeling in that or how you came about it or what it's done for you? Maybe a more recent song.
There are several. I write from my own life experience, from what I'm going through in the moment. And I actually just wrote a new song. We'll be recording it soon, and it's called The Lesson.
Nice.
And it really talks about love in a very different way. And one of the lines in the song that to me, having experienced it and living it, that's very poignant is the first verse says, "I had my share of tears. I've been to hell and back. I've lost everything that meant something, but kept my soul intact. And I picked up the pieces and I learned to love again. I was in a good place until you left me broken." And the course goes in to say, but I prayed for you and I thought God had finally come through. I did all the right things. You know, there's so many times in life that we think we've done everything right, like we don't deserve this. And I followed all the right rules. And the rest of the course goes on, but I kept my faith and I lived my truth. But little did I know I'd have to heal from you too. And it's just like taking one more, you know, had I known I had to heal from you too, I wouldn't have even bothered. So from my own suffering and pain and heartbreak, this song just comes up to the surface. So,
Lizetti, you think that you would go back and do it differently? Or you think you would have met that same person?
I think the way that I look at it now, and to understand my story, I don't know if we have time for it. If you want me to get into a little bit of it, prior to meeting my current ex, I didn't date for 2 years. I made the conscious choice that I was going to work on myself. I had been repeating patterns in relationships, and I needed to understand why. I needed to understand what the pattern was so that I could break it. And I went through NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. I started looking into metaphysics. I've always been a very spiritual person. In my former life, I was a pastor. And so I knew that I needed to heal. And I didn't know how long that was going to take. I just said, I'm not going to date. And it just turned out to be 2 years. But during that time, I wasn't distracted by any of those things. I really poured into myself. I sat with myself. I fell into my own arms. I loved myself, moved to Nashville, made the decision to follow my passion after years of running. And so when I made the decision, and I'll tell you how I did it, this journal actually I've had since 2020, and I had written down everything that I wanted in a partner, and I decided to become that. And when I felt like I had become that, then I knew it was time. That for me to date again. And I felt confident that I had reached those things in my journal. And so in May of last year, I decided to get back on dating sites and give it a go and literally believe that I had manifested and called this person in, and this person felt the same way. And so just the synchronicities, the signs, the similarities of our story and the things that we had been through, I mean, there was no way that I could have, you know, missed it. Now being in this, you know, stepping away from it and being able to process and sit in the pain and process and become the observer, now I kind of see things like, oh, I miss that. Because the excitement and, you know, the love goggles, so to speak, you know, we don't really want to see the ugly. And I look at relationship as a spiritual practice. I look at relationships as God assignments, and two people are brought together for exponential soul growth. And so what's going to happen is your hurt's going to bump into their hurt, and you know, you get triggered. Now how you handle those triggers is the spiritual practice, and some people are ready for it and some people aren't. So when these things start coming to light, start coming up, that's when most people start to run, that they don't realize that you could be the very thing that God, source, universe sent across their path for their ultimate healing and soul growth. And the universe will continue to send people until you learn the lesson. And so now I've learned my lesson. So I would probably go a lot slower, and look, and ask more questions about a person's past, and take a look at the relationship dynamics and who they've cut out of their life and why, and who's been in their life the longest and why, and why do you love them? Because that speaks of a person's capacity.
So beautiful.
Go so,
Guys, that's hard to do when you're in limerence and that neurochemicals take over, hijack a lot. But to slow down is absolutely really good advice. And I also love the fact that you are talking about the qualities inherent in you and those that's how you attracted someone else, because the research does show that we're attracted to people that have qualities that we admire. So if we start actually having those or attaining those for ourselves, we can feel less inclined to be so taken away or taken aback by somebody else. So we can slow down and feel so full inside that we can a little bit.
There are a lot of people out there on TikTok and on YouTube and various social platforms that say you don't attract what you want. You attract what you are, good or bad. You know, there's polarities there. And so the person that I had attracted was very similar to me. Southern, singer, metaphysical, loves God, just a very powerful person, powerful energy, powerful presence, but yet unhealed. So my grandmother always said that relationships are like a washing machine, and you put two people in a washing machine that are filthy, dirty, and they agitate one another, and they rub up against one another, and hopefully, if you're lucky, it comes out clean. And sometimes life can be like a washing machine, and all the ugly comes up, you know. And so I am doing my best to have grace and compassion for this person, because they're on their journey and I'm on mine. So
it's beautiful. We talk about you're on YouTube, I imagine, and I want
a little
what songs do you recommend them check out of yours,
of mine? Yeah. I think I have a very old YouTube channel. I haven't really recorded anything in quite some time, because I ran from music for a very long time after being rejected from the church, and then Nashville 12 years ago, I just kind of gave it up, and I returned back to it in 2020 through the pandemic and realized that it brought me so much happiness and joy and fulfillment just creating again. And so I have a song that people really, really love. If you go to TikTok, if you go to my Instagram page, but you can also purchase it on Amazon or iTunes or anything. And it's called Easy Does It.
Easy Does It by Zeddy.
He does it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everybody says that's probably one of their favorite songs. I'm in the process of working on my song portfolio, and we'll be putting out music this year. So I have some fun stuff out there. You know, you can check it out. But
you're gaining a following on TikTok. So you got a lot of followers on there. And I have to say, my favorite is when you do the acoustic. Pretty fun to watch, guys. You should check it out.
Thank you. Yeah. Being raw and stripped down to just the bare bones of the music. You know, that's one thing that I love about Nashville and doing writers rounds, is it's like me and two other songwriters on stage, and they'll do a song and tell the story behind the song, and then I'll do a song, tell the story behind the song, and then, you know, and people get to hear the stories behind, you know, the work. One of the most profound experience that I had was at the Bluebird Cafe, and I actually heard the story behind the song Unanswered Prayers that Garth Brooks recorded several years ago, and just to hear the stories that influence those songs, I mean, it's powerful. So it's a beautiful thing.
Incredible. What do you feel like you're looking forward to in life or in your career? What do you think you're excited about right now?
For me, my whole motivation in life has always been to use my gifts. And the gift is different than the talent. And talent is, you know, playing the guitar, being able to sing, playing an instrument, being good at sports, being good in business. Some people are just talented in that way. But a gift is different than talent. A gift is why you're here. A gift is your purpose. And my purpose in life has always been to communicate to people love and mercy and grace and forgiveness and all of these spiritual things that have been imparted to me at a very young age, because I do come from a minister's home and I went to seminary. I have a theology degree, a biblical studies degree, none of which I really use. But the talent facilitates the gift. And so many people focus on the talent, and that's, you know, where jealousy and competition and all of these things, ego, come from. But if you're focused on the gift, if you're focused on love and why you're here and what you're expressing to the world through the talent, then you realize you're running your own race, you're in your own lane, and there is no competition. There's no scarcity. There's only abundance, and there's room for everyone at the table. I was telling an artist friend just this week, and I said, you know, the thing that I love about Nashville is there's room for everyone. You know, some people are chicken, some people are mashed potatoes, some people are peas and carrots. It's just, it's, you know, it's finding out what your gift is, and your gift is what will you say to the world? You have 3 minutes to change the world.
Ooh, that's
what will you say? What will you say? How will you use your platform? And so for me, my gift and my purpose is to communicate love and to be love. And how can I best serve love? And the way that I can best serve love is through my music, through motivational speaking, and sometimes it's just being a really good shoulder to lean on, you know. So that's what I'm doing right now.
I could talk to you all day, and lucky me, I get to talk to you more. But I wanted to see, where can they find you? So your TikTok, your IG, where can they find you?
On TikTok, I'm just Zetti Carnell, Zetti. Carnell. On Instagram, it's the same. On YouTube, it's the same. If you Google me, you'll see articles pop up. It's all out there under Zetti Carnell. So
Zetti Carnell, what a pleasure to have you today. So impactful, so insightful. Thank you so much for being on.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.